You know, we are living in days of great deception. Jesus warned us that there would be great deceptions, and it's here. And it's going to get worse in the midpoint of the 7 years before the kingdom. That's when the devils can no longer get access to heaven because Michael defeats them, and they're going to be all over the earth possessing the image of the beast in many different homes, and AI is going to be controlled by devils. Deception is the name of the game, and it's going to be so important that you understand the spiritual nature of that and the liar of liars, because Satan is the father of lies and he is the prince of the power of the air. And so it is so important that we stand boldly for the truth. Satan got Charlie Kirk killed. He didn't like him putting forth truth. And these people that don't want people to speak truth freely, they're against the First Amendment, in other words, they're playing right into the devil's hands, and we are living in those kinds of days. But God has said that Abraham was a friend of God, and Jesus said, we're not just servants. When we get saved, we are friends of God. And when you have a friend, you let that friend in on secrets. That friend knows things about you that other people don't know. And a husband and wife know things about themselves that nobody else knows. And we're in a relationship. We're the bride of Jesus Christ if you're saved tonight. And that means that he wants you to know his secrets. And to know his secrets, you have to be in his word. People say to me, Pastor, you've got to be a prophet. I say, no, my gift is pastor-teacher, but I hang around with the prophets. I've spent a lot of time with the prophets today, and I find out that the prophets of God have a lot to say about Israel, and they have a lot to say about the importance of Israel to God, and that Satan doesn't like that either. And so he lies about Israel. And I just heard that letter by Charlie Kirk read today and how he addressed Benjamin Netanyahu to warn him of the lies that were going out there on the college campus. And he said, I want to defend Israel and I need help from you to put things out. And he was trying to help him. And what a blessing that was to hear that. And Satan didn't like Charlie Kirk being a friend of Israel. Didn't like Charlie Kirk giving the gospel. And he doesn't like it, what we're doing. And he doesn't like it when you know the truth, but it's going to become more and more important. And so we've looked at these now prophecies, and we've said, number one, that the now prophecies about Israel point you to bless the nation of Israel. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Remember, that's what Tucker Carlson asked Ted Cruz. He said, where is that scripture? You know who that reminds me of? The devil. The devil asks these questions to put doubt in your mind. He said, where is that scripture that God promised to bless Israel? Then I've heard other people say, oh no, that was just for Abraham. No, it wasn't just for Abraham. Read it. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It says, Abraham will be the father of a what? A great nation. What nation is that? Check your Bible. In Genesis, chapter 15, chapter 17, chapter 22. It's through Isaac and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And that nation God has blessed. And you say, well, how did he bless the world through Israel? Israel gave us the Bible, Old and New Testament. Israel gave us the Savior of the world. Israel will give us, when they accept the Savior and the kingdom of God will come to earth and Satan will be put in the bottomless pit, and he hates Israel for it. But it said, if you bless Israel, God will bless you. No, it doesn't mean Israel's perfect. Although Benjamin Netanyahu's a good man. He didn't put a hit on Charlie Kirk. That's a, you know, if the dog bites, it's Israel. If the bee stings, it's Israel. If you're feeling sad, it's the Jews. No, it's the devil. He hates the Jews because God elected them. God chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. And you better thank God. You better thank God that God is not fickle in his choice. This is what this verse really means in Romans. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means God doesn't change his mind. You're not saved on Monday, lost on Friday. Saved again on Tuesday, lost on Wednesday. Hope you die on the right day. That's hooey. And so we can bless Israel, and Israel blesses us. If you take many of the things written to Israel in the Old Testament, they can be applied to us, but that doesn't mean replacement theology. That's the lie of the devil. The Roman Catholic Church said we replaced Israel, and now there's no literal kingdom of God coming to earth. There's no literal thousand-year reign of Christ. There's no literal Mount Zion where the king and the priest are going to reign. You can't be a Zionist. I am a Zionist. God is a Zionist. This book is Zion. And the church is not Zion. We can apply things and get blessed, but we're not replacing the church. The Roman Catholic, I mean, we're not replacing Israel. Roman Catholics didn't do it. Protestants don't do it. No church does it. And we need to know there is a difference between Israel and the church. The church is going to be raptured out of here before Israel gets saved as a nation. That doesn't mean God's not working with Israel before they get saved. He's working plenty with them. I always say God can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. That's why some pre-trib rapturists, they believe we're going to be out of here before the 70th week. Well, Israel isn't saved at the beginning of the 70th week, but God's dealing with them under the Mosaic Covenant. That's all, with their temple sacrifice. But that was the so in the early church. That temple was standing, wasn't it? Weren't they having sacrifices? And I'm just saying, God judged that. Yes. But toward the end, you're going to see more and more dealing with Israel. And you've got to understand that. And when we're out of here, the day of the Lord's going to fall on the world in trumpet and bowl judgments. And then Israel will get saved. And we're to bless Israel. And I'm blessing them in this series of messages and getting the truth out to them. And you know, I've had a Jewish lady. I think she might have gotten saved. I pray for her, Lisa, over there in Hollywood. Pray for her. She's been out to our church. Her son has been asking questions. She gave our tapes to the Israeli army, people that she knows, and was circulating on our messages. I'm just telling you, we need people that will bless Israel. And then secondly, it points you to watch, not only points you to bless the nation of Israel, it points you to watch for the fulfillment of the Middle East war prophecies. And let me quote this in Genesis 15:18. We already did this, but I'm just quoting this by way of review. It says in Genesis 15:18, in the same day the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, which is Jehovah God, the covenant God of Israel, made a covenant with Abram, saying unto thy seed have I given this land from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. You know what? God never rescinded that promise. That land is still a title deed to Israel in the Bible. And these people don't know what they're talking about when they talk about a Palestinian homeland. You need to look at your Bible And that river of Egypt is a branch of the Nile River. It goes all the way up to Lebanon, and it goes all the way over to the Euphrates River in modern-day Iraq. It is a land area as big as the state of Texas. Right now, Israel only possesses a sliver of that land the size of New Jersey. But every time they try to get them out of that part, Israel gets more land. And right now, they don't want the Palestinians, who are Arabs and descendants of Esau and Arabs mixed. They don't want them in Arab countries because they want them in that little New Jersey-sized sliver of land to give Israel trouble. Ultimately, they want Israel out of there. And so tonight, I want to go on to the third message, and it points you to watch for the fulfillment of the Middle East war prophecies, and that's what we want to look at tonight. Remember, we said in Ezekiel 36:24 and Ezekiel 37:10, there are also other places in Jeremiah, which prophesies that the Lord would regather Israel back to their land. And in the last part of the last days, you know that Messiah is getting ready to come back when you see Israel back as a nation in their land. And that happened on May 14, 1948. They're back in their land, and that is like, if you look at a clock, the old-fashioned clock, that's the hour hand now that we're in the last days. And then in 1967, June 7, 1967, Israel recaptured the old city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is like the minute hand of that clock. We're getting close now. Israel's got that city of Jerusalem back. And then the second hand is the Temple Mount. And already they've got the red heifers. And they've already offered the red heifer. Either it was a practice, as some say, or the real thing, as others say. And they're just trying to hide it from the Islamists. I don't know. But we're looking now at the Temple Mount, secondhand. Things are moving forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it points you to watch for some wars over in the Middle East that are part of that coming kingdom that is coming back. It's interesting that the Arab people who worship Allah, who's one of 360 gods, small g, worshiped by the Arab people, and Muhammad was raised up by Satan to pick out one god, the moon god. There was a sun god, Manat, and a moon god, and he picked out the moon god, Allah, and said, that's the one we'll unite behind. And how did he get all the Arabs to unite? He had something called jihad, which means we either kill you or you worship Allah. You trade your God in or we'll kill you. We'll rape your women and you'll kill. Hey, they're still doing it today. Look at October 7, 2023. There's not much new under the sun here. And so this plan is going forward. And I personally believe from the scripture that it's God's plan to defeat this Arab, Edom, Ishmael, Esau, Islamic coalition in various wars that will lead up to Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is a war a lot of people talk about. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a pre-70th week, pre-trib war that will happen. But I call that a next prophecy. There are other war prophecies. Have you noticed that since Israel's back in their land, they won the war in May 1948? The day after they became a nation, 60 million Arabs attacked just a few Jews, and God miraculously gave them the victory, and the Palestinians, quote-unquote, lost their home, and they tried to live there in Israel to give Israel trouble, and that's a whole trick. It's a whole scheme. I don't have time to talk about it. There's no genocide going on. That's the biggest lie. I've talked about it before. I'm not going to get into it tonight. It's a lie. There's no genocide going on. But people believe this stuff. It's satanic. And I'm just trying to say to you that God has had Israel win in 1948. Gamal Abdel Nasser tried to drive them out in 1956. They won. I remember that. I was a little kid, but I was interested in this stuff. So if you kids think this is over your head, man, I was 6 years old. I followed that. And then they won again, June 7, 1967. The Six-Day War, you heard about that. And then they won again, 1973. They've been winning ever since. It's when they're getting peace deals that's when they get shafted. Because that's the big trick to go on. And we'll talk about that. But I want to show you tonight, no matter what's going on in the news, get your news right here. Stay with this book right here. Things change, situations change, but get your convictions from the book. And there is going to be a huge invasion upon Israel from Turkey. And you've heard of Erdogan, the head of Turkey. That guy right now pretty much runs Syria. And you've heard of the alliance between Russia and Turkey. Oh, yeah. You heard of the former Soviet Union, all the stands, Tajikistan, and all those stands, Turkmenistan, all those stands were part of the former Soviet Empire under Russia. They're all uniting with Russia. They're Islamic, and they're the outer ring of nations that are far away from Israel but hate Israel satanically, and they're going to ally with Iran, and then African nations like the Houthis. You've heard of the Houthis and the African nations, and they're going to attack Israel and overwhelm it. And when that happens, I hate to tell you this, but the United States will not be able to stop it. Will not be able to stop it. At that time, other commercial places like Saudi Arabia, which Saudi Arabia has been and will be an enemy, but at that time they protest that attack and they ask for it to stop, but they're not able to stop it. Only God will stop it. You know what? If nobody else defends Israel, God himself will do it. He doesn't need the United States. He doesn't need you or I. He will defend Israel. He's going to send earthquakes. He's going to send fire from heaven. He's going to send all kinds of things. And these people are going to fight one another. And they're going to be destroyed. But it does say that when that war takes place, there's going to be some kind of fire. And I think it could be a nuclear exchange between Russia and the U.S. Could be. U.S. does not play a role in prophecy. I just heard a guy say he hopes that it's because we have a revival and there's the rapture. But no, the rapture's not taking place before this. I'm just saying, we need to take every opportunity that we now have, because this is a next prophecy. You say, how far off is it? I don't know. I believe there are some now prophecies that lead up to it. You say, well, why do you say that? All right. That's a great question. I believe when it says here in the Bible, and I'll quote it to you. This is in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 11. It says, and thou shalt say, speaking of Russia and Turkey and those under the Russian leader, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them, dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about them being regathered back to their land, having their own nation, but they don't have any walls. Is that happening right now? Is that happening right now? Robbie, you don't think so. And Robbie's right. First of all, you have a West Bank wall. You've heard of the West Bank. I was there in 2016 on the West Bank. I saw Jordanian soldiers across the river. As of 2025, Israel has several security barriers, walls, primarily bordering the West Bank, also bordering the Gaza Strip. The term wall is often used to describe these barriers, though they are mostly complex, multi-layered fence systems. At present, the West Bank, where, you know, you have the west side of Israel there, the West Bank, the west side of the Jordan River, I should say. The West Bank barrier wall is 442 miles long. As of 2022, it was 62% complete. Most of the West Bank wall is a locked electronic fence with sensors, barbed wire, and ditches. Recent upgrade repairs have been made to this West Bank wall. They're working on it. All right, that's over by Jordan. Now you have a Gaza wall. You've heard about the fighting in Gaza against Hamas, and right now that's everything is centered on that. The Gaza barrier is about 40 miles long, and first there's an underground wall that is sensor-equipped with several meters below the ground, and that's supposed to help detect Hamas tunnels. You've heard about that. Second, there's an above-the-ground barrier wall, 20 feet high, and has sensors and cameras. That's for the Hamas wall. Then you have a Jordan barrier wall. In 2025, Israel announced plans to construct that fenced wall along the 192-mile border with Jordan. So you have one on the West Bank, but also one right at the border with Jordan. And this planned wall is to stop both smuggling and infiltration across the border with Jordan. Now you go to the north, you've got a Lebanon border wall. In 2025, Israel's been constructing a barrier wall on its northern border with Lebanon. That's north northwestern border with Lebanon. Work on this wall resumed in May 2022. This wall has a concrete wall, sensors, surveillance cameras, expected to cost $450 million. Now, according to the prophecy of Ezekiel 38, I don't believe that's a now prophecy because Israel will have peace when that happens. No walls. They'll have great prosperity. Now, they do have prosperity, but great prosperity. And they're going to have greatly expanded borders when that happens. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, first of all, peace, Ezekiel 38, 12 says, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. Is Israel a land of unwalled villages today? No. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely. Are they at rest when you have October 7, 2023? Are they at rest when you have all these threats from Iran and they lob missiles at them in the 12-day war? Are they at rest, dwelling safely without walls? No. So that's not a now prophecy. It's a next prophecy. All of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. And so we need to realize that that there's going to be peace. Now, I always thought the peace, listen to me, would come through diplomacy. I used to think that. Even when I believed what I do now about the rapture, I believed that there would be peace through diplomacy. And if I would have saw Trump's plan back then, I would have said, this is it. This is what's going to set it up for Israel to be attacked when they're having peace. Because Trump is coming up with a 21-point peace plan. And, you know, it's going to involve Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7. Let me know, before I get into that, let's get into the peace. I was going to get into the war. Let's get into the peace. Donald Trump is proposing peace. I just heard him say it today. He said, let's call it an everlasting peace. He's wrong. Donald needs help too. He needs some spiritual advisors. Charlie Kirk was a good one, and Satan didn't want him getting too close to the president. No, my friends, it's not an everlasting peace. In fact, Donald Trump, he's well-meaning. He wants to make peace over there. Just like everything else, he wants to fix it. He's a fixer. He wants to get it done. And he's great at it. I thank God for him. He's fixed our southern border. We have nobody coming across. He's fixed a lot of things in America. But you're not going to fix the Middle East unless you get God's plan. I can tell you how to do it. But most people don't want to do it. Benjamin Netanyahu does. He does. But his good friend is going to be pressuring him. And did you see him apologize to the Qataris? How many saw that or heard that? Where you guys been? Benjamin Netanyahu was forced to apologize for striking terrorists in Qatar. And do you know Qatar has the Muslim Brotherhood working with them? Do you know Egypt has the Muslim Brotherhood? Do you know Syria has the Muslim Brotherhood? And do you know Qatar, they want to get rid of Israel? Sure they do. They have the old hatred, the perpetual hatred, as the Bible says, the King James. They want to get rid of Israel. They just are smarter at how to do it. Kiss up to the president, kiss up to the administration, use your money, come up with a peace plan. At the same time, they're working to destroy Israel and fund Hamas. Why do you think all those Hamas people were there? They're their buddies. Why do you think Israel had to strike them? They're their buddies. But Benjamin Netanyahu apologized because Donald Trump said, well, you got to make peace with these guys. And we'll help you out. And what we'll do is we will have me run it. And I'd rather have Trump run it than Hamas. And some other nations, like Palestinians and other. By the way, if they're practicing genocide, just a number of years ago, they had about 300,000 Palestinians. Now they have 2.5 million over there. They're doing a poor job of killing them. A lot of them have left the area because Israel dropped leaflets, said, get out of there. But Qatar is posing as a friend. At the same time, with the Muslim Brotherhood, they're stirring up this war. And now they're solving it so they can be in control of what happens. Now, if this peace plan goes through, there's going to be great prosperity in the Middle East. And I used to think, yeah, that's how it's going to happen. That's why Ezekiel 38 will be unwalled. A peace plan will succeed. But I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. I believe the Bible teaches there will be war. And the first one is in Zephaniah chapter 2, 4 through 7. Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Notice what it says there. For Gaza shall be what? Forsaken. And Ascalon a desolation. That's right in the Gaza Strip area. They shall drive out Ashdod in the Gaza Strip area. At noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up, all former places where the Philistine enemy dwelt. By the way, the name Palestinian is a Latin form of Philistine, Israel's greatest enemy. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast. Have you seen the Mediterranean Sea there in the Gaza Strip? The nation of the Cherethites, that's the nation we're talking about, Palestinians. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, and there shall be no inhabitant. You see, God is right now meting out judgment upon not only Hamas, but the PLO. Benjamin Netanyahu, did you hear him speak about the head of the PLO? Used to be Yasser Arafat, and now it's Mahmoud Abbas. Did anybody hear that? Raise your hand if you did. And not many. Well, listen. He said they're just as much enemies as Hamas. They're against God's plan and enemies of it, and they will not be satisfied until Israel is driven out. And Benjamin Netanyahu told Donald Trump, we cannot have the PLO running that. I'll accept you, but I won't accept the PLO. And so that war is going to continue. And if you look into the Bible, it says, and I heard a guy quote it today, that the tribe of Judah will inherit that land. The tribe of Judah will inherit that land. And as a result of war and winning a war. Isaiah 17, 1 through 9. That is Syria to the north. And in Isaiah 17, 1 through 9, and you've heard me say it many times, the city of Damascus, Syria, is going to be leveled probably by a nuclear bomb. In verse 9 of Isaiah 17, there it is, the Damascus shall be taken away. It's never been taken away, never become a ruinous heap. You have verse 9? Verse 9 says that, in that day, his strong cities will be forsaken, and an uppermost branch, because of the children of Israel, there shall be. Israel is going to take out Damascus, Syria. Going to take out Gaza. You say, why? Because it's existential threat. They want Israel out of there. Satan is behind it. Not only that, but you have Jeremiah 49, verse 2. Jeremiah 49, verse 2. And I'll read it. Look what it says. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites. Does anybody know what Rabbah of the Ammonites is? Have you ever heard of Ammon, Jordan? Ammon, Ammonites, Ammon, Jordan. All right, so it's talking about Amman, the capital of Jordan now. So we talk about the capital of Syria. We've talked about Gaza. And it shall be desolate heap, and her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then Israel shall be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. These are now prophecies. There's going to be big war over there. There's been war. And I used to think, like what Donald Trump did, that'll be what will lead to Ezekiel 38, 39. But that's not what I see in the Bible here. Unless I'm terribly wrong. Ezekiel 38 and 39 will be by a peace that comes from war. I don't see it right now in the news, but I see it here. And I'm telling you to look at that. And that would be there's going to be nuclear weapons over there in the Middle East, and it's going to blow up Amman, Jordan. And it's going to hurt Israel, according to Isaiah 17. If you go on, it's going to hurt Israel because that bomb is going to hurt them. So somehow the war is going to become so serious, and Israel has nuclear weapons, they're going to be brought out, and that is going to happen. So I just want to say that God has a plan for Israel, and he is not going to give up on his people. But the devil is fighting it. And he fights hard. And we need to remember tonight that we are the people of God. And the devil will fight a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church like this one. And you're going to have to resist the devil. You're going to have to be spiritually sharp and alert. And also to be taught the Word of God. And to be able to share the Word of God with other people. Boy, what a blessing it is to go out like I did this week and just share the Word of God and have opportunities to get the truth out there. And God wants you to know that you're to bless Israel, pray for them, and try to witness to them. Let them know that you know what the Bible said and try to lead them to their Messiah. And if they accept Jesus, boy, they're going to see all these things. They're going to really be geared in and be friends with God and know what God wants. What a blessing that is. I hope you're in your Bible and you're trusting God to fulfill these prophecies and you're witnessing as God gives you opportunity. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about the now prophecies that will lead